I'll call it to order. Welcome, everybody. I want to welcome everybody spring. So get your fishing reels out and all that kind of stuff. So, a few nice weekends, Paul. I'm sure you guys will start getting real busy again.
I hope so.
Yeah, I read the
job security.
I read the thing about Sullivan County, you know, with all the drug arrests and what it's grabbing the jail. And I said, that sounds good to me.
Yeah. You know? Send him down the hill.
Yeah. That's what I was saying. So I was going to write the letter to the editor. I said, maybe I shouldn't really do that. So anyway, I want to thank everybody for showing up. So appreciate it. Ask for a motion to approve the minutes of March 1st.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Additions, deletions, corrections, anything? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, opposed? Okay. All right. We'll go to resolutions. Resolution 191 approving the execution of a contract amendment in excess of $50,000 entered into by the County Motorola Systems Emergency Management Emergency Communications. Motion. Second. For just discuss.
Make a motion.
Okay. Second.
Second.
Okay. All right. Any discussion on this? This is 191.
1 year, right?
Yes.
One year.
Okay.
Any, if no discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
We're here.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right.
I talked in my kind spot. I hope it doesn't matter.
192.
That's what you're on.
Approving the execution of a contract amendment of excess of $50,000 entered into the County Aramark Correctional Services LLC, Wilson County Sheriff. Motion. Get it rock and roll.
Make a motion.
Second.
Second.
Okay. Discussion.
Sheriff, wanna?
Please. That means you have questions.
Okay.
Do you have questions regarding?
Do you have a question?
No, I just want you.
Okay. Just so you know, it's already part of the budget. We've already budgeted for that. It's an annual adjustment for the price index. Same thing happens every year. This year ends this current contract, but then we're probably looking at extensions. That's the best price in town that we know of. So it's an annual thing.
Okay, cool.
And it's already in the budget for this year.
Okay. Other questions? Anybody? Okay, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, thank you. Resolution 231, authorizing the chairman of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a contract agreement with the National Association of VOCA Assistance Administrators and NAVAA and amending the 2016 Ulster County Budget Department of Probation. What the heck are all those things? Melanie, where is she? Oh, there she is.
I'm sorry.
I need a motion in a second.
I'll move it.
Second.
So, okay, good. Okay, I'm sorry.
So it's an agency that actually I had not been aware of. Our educator, EPS, had found it, and they are offering money to help support crime victims awareness during the National Crime Victims Rights Week, which is coming up April 11th. And they give us $5,000 in order to raise it. It's basically a T-shirt thing. They're showing a couple of movies.
Cool. All right. Other questions? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Aye. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Number 232, authorizing the chairman of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a contract with the New York State Department of Criminal Justice to accept grant funds for AEDs, the Ulster County Sheriff's Department. Move it.
Second.
Hector?
Sure.
Oh, no. Oh, I just got a question.
No, okay. Just moving it.
Okay.
Does it move? That's fine.
These are freebies for you?
The grant money. The sheriff's office oversees all the programs for Ulster County. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I will say, as I always do, being a longtime member of the First Aid Squad up in Ellenville, you guys are always there and always on the money. And you certainly need an extra pair of hands or an extra couple of pairs of hands. Always makes a difference, and you guys do a good job. You're always professional. So we do thank you for that. So, other discussion? Okay.
Well, this is just a question. You know, have you guys had saves with the AEDs in the cars? I'm just curious.
We have, for sure. Yeah. If you want, I can research it.
don't put so much time into it.
I don't know you guys
curious.
Know how it is when somebody uses the machine, it's downloaded to a hard drive and you can research it all. Stuff, but I can find out if you want.
It wouldn't be too much trouble, but if it is, but if it's going to take time, don't worry about it. Spend
my,
on something else.
Take my time. Take somebody else. Okay. I will. I will ask somebody.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. We also have the sheriff's monthly report, and do you have questions? A little bit of red ink, but wow, our numbers are way down, aren't they?
Yeah. It's early. I don't think we're not panicking yet. If it stays the way it is, we'll come in shy of 130 something thousand on the board in revenue and 20 something thousand maybe on the telephone. But we don't think that's going to happen. We're still always struggling. Population is down statewide. Dutch has opened their facility. So there's a lot of issues, but we're looking to increase revenue, maybe using some, what are they? Not iPads, but they're...
It's a new technology they're putting in jails all over the country. That
tablets.
They're little tablets. And these folks can rent things, videos, and it's all monitored. So we, and they can't rent things that are going to incite situations nicely. they can, but there's different revenue makers that are part of that whole process. They pay for other things. Mm-hmm. Going to some of the stuff I've been to, some of the trade shows, some of the in the country right now, they're literally selling the tobacco-less cigarettes and making fortunes on it in jails in other states. I know that would never ever happen in New York. But that's what they're doing now. It's all about trying to find a way to make revenue in correctional facilities.
The tablets, is that like a pay per minute kind of thing? Yeah. Or?
Yes. They
like cruise ship internet.
Yeah. Not quite that bad, but
yeah, for an extra 50 cents, they get a bag of sand and a blow up.
There's like Kindles on it, and it's all different. I'd have to get you a printout of how it comes out, but it's all. And I know Dutchess has got it. It's not costing us any money to put it in. And we'll definitely make money off of this. So because we have revenue issues with the phones that the FCC's been toying with for quite a while. We don't really know what the bottom line is going to be on that yet. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's another angle.
And this is just more of just a comment. Just I get that you break out in terms of your budget. You basically take the total and then break it out by month. So for example, the board in revenue is always, $38,781 every single month. But you actually, I hope at some point that we're actually tracking this month to month actual at some point.
But then the actuals are next to it.
No, but I'm talking about from previous years, meaning at a certain point, for example, there's certain departments that always run, they spend all their money, say, in the front end. What I mean? And so sometimes new legislators get themselves all panicking. Oh, you're spending so much money.
I have all the records from when we started doing board ins.
Yeah, so we actually understand.
But I also have to tell you, we don't spend more than we take in.
Right.
So if we only take in $100,000, even though we budgeted revenue of $300,000, that's what we spend.
Right.
No. And
by the way, it does fluctuate from month to month.
Yeah, sure.
And every month we print out an actual.
And there may be year-to-year trends where basically where you end up, say, you have less prisoners, come January 1, at a certain point every single year. And that basically, while we see, for example, 5,801 in the red, it's okay because traditionally we'll make it up somewhere else during the course of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You understand what I mean?
Exactly.
That's as opposed to it being broken out this way, that's not necessarily the most useful thing. The more useful thing is kind of say, okay, fine, this is where we're at on average for the month of January for the past 3 years, right? We take in this much revenue, and now you can kind of compare apples to apples as opposed to
the comparisons are tough to make kind of long-term predictions because of the fact that, for example,
population changes.
Well, holy cow. Yeah. I mean, we went down big time when Dutchess put those temporary pods in. We're still getting some females from them and some minors, but the numbers are way down from what they were. Yep. And now we're looking at, in the future, in the next few years, you got Sullivan's under construction. Green is about ready to start digging. Dutchess has just got signed on to do it. So Borden's are going to be something we have to get used to as not being a huge deal. We've been actively pursuing the feds, and they're telling us their numbers are so far down that, and I've been calling and calling, I'm surprised I haven't gotten an aggravated harassment warrant.
And let the record reflect, I don't believe that the current sheriff ever asked for that jail, but we won't get into that.
And didn't that just put into new an extension onto there?
No, they're building a whole new jail.
Yeah.
Oh, it's already done?
Well, no.
It's approved? I mean, approved.
They approved the bonding of up to $190 million?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Yes, they have a site, I believe.
Yeah.
The question it's I have right is, so million. Now that you see these numbers are starting to come down with these new jails, the feds are down, things of that nature, do you, like, on a routine basis, do you just look into other revenue sources?
Sure.
So we don't have to wait till that minute comes and find...
Whether we'll never get back up, I don't think, to the $1.7 million that we were making when Dutchess was sending all their inmates.
I understand, right.
But,
right.
Yeah, we're always looking, and that's looking, we're looking at the tablets.
The tablets
and things of that nature to attract it.
That's what it's usually when we go to the shows. That's exactly what we look into. Every year we come back with something,
right?
Either for it's an improvement on security or another potential revenue maker.
Good.
So that's and there's a whole.
It sounds like that's with all these new jails now close to us, you're definitely going to have that problem.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm hoping that right when Dutchess starts construction, that they have to move some of their inmates out of there.
That's not going to be the whole
same spot. So
again, it should be
well, for some of them. I think
they're
should keep
5-year project.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we got some time.
They got to demolish. They have to demolish the new jail that was put up in '84.
Okay.
And that's where they're going to build. So when they demolish that, they're going to have to put those inmates somewhere.
Right.
Nice. Yes, they are. We'll raise our hand.
Anything else for the sheriff's report?
Nope.
Old business? Okay, new business. In your packet, you will notice the local pet sellers law. This is for your perusal study. It's big enough that you could probably start two or three wood stove fires with it.
You want to start back to front to back? I can do either.
Yeah. It depends, you know. But this copy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate your time. This copy is the outcome of last year's work by the Law Enforcement Committee, and then we had a 3-hour meeting with the breeders, SPCA, the Humane Society, and everything else, and we came out, and this was the law that everybody could live with. Unfortunately, when it went before Laws and Rules, somebody from the breeder side had an attack of amnesia and forgot that we ever had those meetings. So let's look at it, and I'd like to...
Hey, Ken.
And I'd like to bring it up, have a discussion with it in May, and then based on that, if we don't have, let's say, a ton of discussion, in May I would like to schedule a special meeting where we'll get together with the SPCA, Humane Society, bring the breeders back in, we'll discuss it, we'll go over it as we did, and we'll forward it through the Laws and Rules like that. I'm also going to ask that if we do that special meeting, which I think would work and work well, I'm going to ask Kevin Roberts, who chairs Laws and Rules, if he'd like to be involved, he and his chair would be involved in it as well. And then that way we're all on the same page, and so if anybody gets, you know, milk of amnesia when they come to the meeting, they can be set straight, so... Okay.
If I could, I spent a lot of time and energy and effort working on this last year, and when this started to come back forward again, you know, I started to have little panic attacks. But meeting tomorrow personally with one of the most outspoken of the breeders, Mr. Delaney, and he made a couple of suggestions that maybe I'm going to try and talk to him about and work them back on a little bit.
Okay.
See if we can't come to something that they can live with, you know, prior to having another 3.5-hour long meeting. So,
okay. The end game on this whole thing is the breeders don't trust the Humane Society, and the Humane Society don't trust the breeders. If the Humane Society had their way, nobody would breed dogs, and you know, the breeders think that people are going to knock on the door at 1:00 in the morning and then, you know, investigate, you know, their clean water bowl. So. Read it. A lot of energy was put in it, and I must apologize. Ken, you're right. You really did
majority of the legwork on it.
Oh, I didn't mean it.
No, but I'm glad you said it. No, you did. You were really working hard on it, and you spent a lot of time over on it. So,
TJ, it's been a while since I looked at this. Now, is there a lot in here yet about the people who I consider that do this for a hobby? Are they still drug into this argument?
That's a good question.
Like the person that breeds once a year, his beagle dogs, and he gets $150 a piece for them. Where are these people going to fall?
That depends. If I could just jump into that depends entirely on how many dogs they breed. Right now, the way the law is written, if you have 2 litters per year, or
hold on,
I want more than 2 litters. So you can have 2 litters, but if you have 3 litters,
right, then you got to,
or more than 9, then you follow the law. But if you have less than 3 litters or less than 9 dogs that you sell, now you can breed more than 9 dogs. It's about
the
selling the 9.
If it's 2 litters a year, for a hobby guy, that's. Half of them won't even be included.
Yeah, I'll read it. Under pet seller, it says, means a person in Ulster County who engages in the sale or offering for sale more than 9 dogs or cats calendar year, or who breeds more than 2 liters of dogs. Litters. You know, ever since you went to Germany, this has happened to me. Litters of dogs or cats in a calendar year and offers them for sale. So you can have 42 litters if you want.
Metric
by aspect. If you give them to all your neighbors,
a lot of these people that I see that do it as a hobby, they're just as thorough, if not more thorough. Oh.
And we all agree with that.
Right. So. Okay, that's good.
So read it, and we'll go over it in May, and then we'll schedule that other meeting. Anything from anybody?
And the number, Dean, if I could just, second. The number has been the biggest sticking point.
Yeah.
And I've always been flexible on the number, but we just never got there.
Yeah, whatever.
So one of the things I plan to discuss with Mr. Delaney, the copy that he gave me was he created a new level of breeder, which was a residential breeder, which took the state number, which is 25 dogs, which I think is a little high. And said anybody who breeds more than or less than 25 dogs at their home. Is a residential breeder and is exempt.
Okay.
But then, if you look at the situation at Gardner, I mean, I don't know how many dogs they came up with, but
I'm relatively certain that she wouldn't have qualified at current time as a breeder under under the current number.
Yeah, even with that, she has
My number is more close to 15. I feel like if you're breeding and selling more than 15 dogs, you're a breeder.
Right. I agree. So this. That was one of the biggest things. So read it. We'll discuss it in May, and then we'll probably set up a special meeting.
Oh, not a problem.
Okay.
Yep.
Anything
flashbacks.
Else? Everybody's good. Yes.
An
I'm sorry.
For public.
Well,
bring a new issue to the committee.
Okay. Go ahead.
So, you don't want to sit here? Can I
sit? You can sit. That's good. Just matter. Give your name for the record, if you would, please.
I'm happy to. My name is Matt. My last name is Colangelo. I'm resident at 84 Glen Street, in the city of Kingston. The reason why I'm here is I'm kind of having a long-standing issue regarding the traffic caused by the facilities located at the end of the street. The reason why I'm here today is because this is going on the third year trying to have this issue acknowledged and corrected. Mr. Shabbat of the City of Kingston Public Safety Committee said that this is now a county problem and the city won't do anything.
Can I ask you what's at the end of the street?
Sure.
Okay.
Actually, I have a copy of the tax map.
Okay.
If someone else wants to look at it, and I can much easier
to display.
I'll
give this to Jay for the
record. There's an extra copy if anyone, but you'll notice the issue is, and I've been kind of very vocal about it because at this point I don't know what else to do, and I really feel as though this issue has to be addressed publicly and documented publicly, primarily because but no environmental impact study was done when the facility was sold in 2013. I know that there's 2 other parcels that are for sale, one of which is the county jail. So I'd really like to make sure that this is acknowledged so that when that time does come to sell the property that...
Matt, only because you haven't mentioned it, you're talking about Golden Hill, right?
That's one of the facilities that is there. So Golden Hill is one of them, the transit center, along with other county-owned properties that are at the end of the facility. So my point is, acknowledging it is important because when time comes to sell the jail, we want to make sure that the environmental impact study is done
so that the residents of the street can be heard. So just a brief history, like I mentioned earlier, the reason why I'm here today is because the city now says it's the county's problem. This problem for me dates back to 2013. For the residents, it dates back probably the 70s. Okay, so I know that because I personally went door to door and talked to every single homeowner on the street because I wanted to make sure it wasn't just me. Over 25 signed a petition and over 15 showed up to the July 2015 meeting at the City of Kingston Public Safety Committee. They told stories of vehicles being damaged, they told stories of property being damaged, they told stories of speeders, they told stories of traffic.
And if I may, these are people coming out of the Golden Hill
area? I think that if you look at it from a logical standpoint, it really would conclude that the increase in traffic is a result of the privately owned facility that's located at the end of the street. And the reason for that is, in fact, New York State Department of Transportation has counted the traffic traveling from Route 32 to Golden Hill, and it's 6,587 cars per day. So if you were conservatively guessing that 20% of those decided to take a right afterwards, it would be well over 1,000 cars a day traveling up and down Glen Street. Now, Glen Street is only 15 feet wide. Glen Street does not have any sidewalks. Glen Street is classified as a dead end, okay? The map that I have for you shows three access points into the facility. Two of them are access from Glen Street. Now, I have asked, I have spoken with individuals from the county, particularly Mr. Bob Sudler, I don't know if he's here or not. I have asked him, he has told me that this is a city problem. I've explained to him that I've spoken with people at the city, now they're telling me it's a county problem. I've attended the planning board meetings. I've attended this public safety meetings. I've written letters. I've gotten petitions and I've gotten signatures. I don't know what else to do other than to have somebody acknowledge why or how they can address this safety issue. Now, I have proposed a reduction in the speed limit. I was told no. I have proposed speed humps. I was told no. I have proposed increased signage at the end of Glen Street and on Washington Avenue asking travelers to use Route 32 to access the facility. In fact, the five-way intersection at the end of where the intersection meets is the most confusing, probably in Ulster County. I can't tell you how many times people flip each other off because nobody knows when to go and nobody knows where to go. There's no signage. So I've tried, you know, politely, diplomatically, and I was told no. So I come up with the crazy idea of converting Glen Street not only back to a dead end, but also to the original intent, which was a emergency access roadway, something I believe you mentioned earlier with a proposal that's happening in Saugerties. There are two points, if you look at the map I gave you, points number indicated number one and number two. Those are access points from Glen Street, okay? Mr. Dan Garnstein at the city has injected an opinion, although he hasn't really provided any proof, will tell you that it was sold as a right-of-way. Now, I have that documentation. I've gone through the sale of the Golden Hill facility with a fine-tooth comb, and one thing that I can tell you is access point one was a part of the right-of-way. Access point one has concrete barriers in front of it. Nobody is using access point one. If you were to go there, you would see 2 one-ton concrete pillars preventing vehicles from going in and out of the facility. So, my understanding from speaking with residents that have lived on the street for 4 years, when they did that, the county and its infinite wisdom, along with the city's approval, simply opened access emergency road number two. Now, here's where the legality does come into play. Access point two is an emergency access roadway. Okay. It was blocked off for years and years and years, and still is. Thirdly, Glen Street and Golden Hill Drive are under the jurisdiction of the city of Kingston. That is not from me, that is from the New York State Department of Transportation. Therefore, the city of Kingston has the authority over the roadway. Now, why they don't know that is something that I would really like to know, but irregardless, this also does affect county property. Therefore, my hope is that the county, particularly through the Safer Roads of Ulster County Initiative, which I know is something that has been talked about, it seems as though all of the roads in Ulster County want to be made safer, except for Glen Street. I don't know how else to say it, but how, unless somebody can tell me, a 15-foot wide roadway with no sidewalks is safe. Now, one thing to remember is Golden Hill is hiring part-time employees like crazy. Those people walk on Glen Street. I'm not here because I don't like traffic. I'm not here because I think I shouldn't have it on my street. I'm here because someone will get hurt, and someone will get hurt eventually, okay? So, you know, when I did go and talk to the neighbors, I did it because I wanted to make sure that I wasn't doing this for me, okay? So why I'm being stonewalled, why I'm being told that I'm crazy, is crazy in and of itself when I'm getting that from the Public Safety Committee meetings and these members. So I'm asking, what can be done to permanently fix? So I've been told that the City of Kingston Police Department has been fantastic. They've really been, the police chief and same with the fire department, I mean, they're very, very understanding. I know they do care. I know that they are limited with what they can do, but they have really done more than I think they should. And I don't think using their resources is really cost effective or practical, because it's only going to result in a temporary solution. I really do think that something, you know, why we're allowing it to continue is really an explanation that I haven't been able to get, other than the argument that it's a public road. But it's really, residents of the city are not using Glen Street to access Route 32. It doesn't make sense. Only local residents that live there, even those people, don't use it to access Route 32. The only people that are using it excessively are the people accessing Golden Hill.
All right, well, I think Hector, go ahead.
No, I mean, I'm going to say something that actually I hate to say. Truth. This it's a city issue. No. Conceptually, I hate the whole idea of passing. Hold on, let me finish. I hate the idea of passing the buck. But this is something that we have actually been pulling away. And the earlier point you made about if there's ever a sale of the jail, of the old jail, and there being, you know, any kind of traffic, that's totally appropriate for us and for this venue. But with regards to what's happening specifically in terms of the traffic pattern there on Glen Street, and dealing specifically with the Golden Hill Nursing and Rehabilitation Center, and unfortunately, because we use the term Golden Hill, that covers all manners of things, specifically the nursing home. You know,
not exactly. I think this is an issue of, to be privately owned properties. Now, one of the things I want to reiterate here is the fact that you would tell me that's a city problem is actually what I was hoping you would tell me, because it provides validity to the fact that nobody knows what's going on. Now,
okay, well, hold on. That's fine. But let's, because Hector says that, or because I believe that, that 52 cents will buy you a cup of coffee and a bad diner. Okay? So, because, you know,
where can you get a 52% cup of coffee?
I was going to say, where is this coffee?
But you understood what I was saying. So my recommendation would be that we send this down to planning, Dennis, let him look at it, and let him make a definitive statement that says this is essentially city property, and that...
Yeah, I'm in agreement
with
you.
I'd actually have
counsel look at it. I'd have Erica provide a legal opinion in regards to the matter.
If I can say something that really defies logic here, irrespective of whether it's legal or not, it isn't safe. So I really want to reemphasize that point, because I'm not sitting here saying that the road has to be closed or restricted. I just think that that's the most practical solution, because it makes the most sense. I mean, allowing emergency access vehicles to use an emergency access roadway just maybe to me makes sense, but it doesn't seem to make sense to anyone else. But it is an emergency access road. Therefore,
let's
I understand.
But let's get to that point first. Maybe that's your version of it.
But
we don't know that. That's
why. What could be done to make it safe?
Again,
so that's something that
we can't. I can't make that decision. So we can send it down to the county planner. He can look at it. He can make an informed decision as to the whys and wherefores. We give that. Let the attorney look at that, and then from there, you've got the
council and the city planner, and if he deems that it is a city issue, then from there...
I mean this very respectfully, and I know this isn't something that people are doing intentionally, but to have to go through bureaucratic red tape to prove or to ask why it's unsafe. I mean, I'm asking two questions.
Okay,
but
stop, enough. We're addressing that now. Okay, we cannot determine whether something is unsafe or not. That's not our purview. Okay, you've asked us to look into this, and the way we would look into it is let the county planner say, you know, these roads were put in for emergency access, and that's what they should be used for. Or, you know, that was the thought process, but this is a through road, and it's going to always be a through road. But the bottom line is that what you're looking for, and I think what this committee would look for is, you know, if this is city property, city roads, it's a city issue. But the only way you can go back to the city with any strong push behind you is to have something county planner and the legislative council to look at this and say, no, this is the rest of the story. City, you need to deal with this. And they can also give you some of the purview of the whys and wherefores of the roads, what they're meant to do, why there's no sidewalks. So then you have ammunition when you go before the city.
I've done all of that. I don't think you understand.
No, I do understand. Did you do that? Did you do that with an attorney? Did you do that with the county planner?
I didn't know that the county planner and attorney needed to go to address the safety issue to a committee that is supposed to address safety issues. I didn't know that.
Okay, what I'm trying to explain to you is that's what we will get for you.
I feel sorry that this is continuing. I mean it respectfully,
Do you want us to do that? Or
I would love for something to happen, but it's very funny that I went to the city, they told me to go to the county, they told me to go to the county, they told me to go to the city.
No.
See, that's not our area.
I did not say that.
I'm not blaming you.
But listen to me, and we're going to end this in 15 seconds. I did not say that. What I said to you is, we will get you the information you need to know. Maybe our county planner will say, yes, this was something the county entered into with the city, and this is the rest of the story. But you need to know that. We need to know that. So there's some legwork. That's what the county planner, and that's what the council will do.
I just want to let you know that I did contact DOT. I did get copies.
It's not DOT.
Well, DOT is the one, the authority that has the jurisdiction. All right, I know it's a city issue.
You're starting to cross the line here.
That's it. What do you got, Dean?
My thing is that we should give him some kind of a time frame that he will hear back from us or from the county so he doesn't just leave here empty-handed.
I would think within a month or less.
Okay.
You know, Dennis is real good about that. You know, Dennis, he's forgotten more than most of us will ever remember. Yeah.
I mean, give us so a month or less, and you'll have some time.
I think it's very fair to do. I mean, I understand that there's a process, and I want to make sure that is followed. I hope that, you know, something at least is just all I'm asking for is an explanation. I'm not demanding something be permanently, like, I'm not saying that this has to be done because this is why, or my opinion isn't the land or the law of land. I just want somebody to at least acknowledge it and say, here's what we can do for you, and I appreciate that.
And that's what we will do for you.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Okay, second.
So second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, everybody, safe travel tonight, because it's